Hi, my name is Mike Bucci, and I interview everyday dads taking extraordinary actions to improve their family's lives by growing a business for purpose or for profit to learn their why, their when, and their hows, so you can take what you need, model their behavior, and take immediate action. Welcome to the Dadgepreneur Code. Good morning, everybody. I have a cool little message today because I've come to realize a few things recently, and I think that by maybe listening to me for the next 5 or 10 minutes, I'll be able to share a couple of points that when you look at, it probably resonates in your life a little bit if you're already listening to this podcast. One of the things that I want to talk about is happiness and how recently I've been very happy. I can't put it into words. I really can't. I just feel happier than I've been for a while. And there's a few reasons. I think I know why it's happening. And I might be wrong, but because I'm feeling this way, it's kind of like the proof of concept. And I'm connecting dots and saying maybe it's because. And I wanted to walk through a couple of those today because one of the things about Dadgepreneur's podcast is I'm trying to find my voice here. I'm trying to express myself and to help others with a couple of the skill sets I think I have. Things that people tell me, you know, you're really good at this, or I enjoy talking to you, or, you know, Booch, thanks a lot for helping me with this because now I achieve this. So short of calling myself a life coach or success coach, I love helping people become better, period, end of story. And what's happened this year is a transformation in a couple of different ways in my life. First and foremost, I think this year I have really committed to becoming the person that I want to be. I've committed to this person. But I really drew that person out, and I've become clearer than ever, not on my goals, not on achievement, but what are the feelings I want to feel? Understand, what are the things I want to accomplish? What does that make me feel? And how do I feel that way? How do I get to that level of emotion and feeling if I'm stuck in the body and mind I am now? And when you're honest with yourself and you say, well, I can't, otherwise I'd obviously be experiencing that now, it becomes very easy to draw out what that future self looks like. So that's what today is going to be about. So let's take a quick little break. Okay, so we're back. What I would say is two things happened to me this year. One of which is I decided to get into peak physical condition. Peak. By reading a book called Can't Hurt Me. Now, why do I keep talking about this book? Like, if you haven't read this book yet and you listen to three of my podcasts, like, come on, get on Amazon. It'll be at your house like tomorrow if you order it right now. The book talks so much about your brain's perception of pain and how it's so protective of you. I started to really consciously, each time my mind challenged my new habit, I know this sounds crazy, but I started to be able to, because I'm reading these books, notice more when that happened. As a result, I'm able to challenge myself more in the moment and challenge the habits that are so deeply ingrained. And I haven't always won. I said challenged. Before the books, I really was way more on autopilot than even I thought. Now, autopilot is great for your good stuff, and I have good stuff, but I also had some bad stuff. I like to call them triggers, bad triggers. So at night, a trigger I had last year was, I'm going to drink. I'm going to have wine. I'm going to have beer. I'm going to have a scotch. Like, I'm going to drink probably 4 or 5 nights a week. Terrible. But because of the triggers in my life, like I come home, I had dinner, I put my butt on the couch. I really would like to have a scotch or a wine. You guys know what I'm talking about. I started to assess all these little triggers in my life. What happened was, and you look into this year, what happened was my wife and I committed to not like drinking at night and replacing those bad habits with, I know this sounds crazy, but with tea. We started to have like a decaf green tea, peach tea. My wife's like, ooh, why don't we get this tea and that tea? And I owe so much to her because she replaced that trigger until it wasn't as strong anymore. Kind of like a rubber band. You stretch it, you stretch it, you stretch it, you stretch it. After a while, you know, it loses a little bit of its elasticity. That was the habit I had. But what happens is, just like with a rubber band, you can't stretch it completely. It wants to come back. It wants to come back. Where I have found happiness this year is realizing that we all are like rubber bands with our habits, and that it's okay when we start to sabotage ourselves and go back to Fat Mike or Drinking Mike, because then you realize, I don't want to be this person anymore, and you can consciously start to stretch it out again. Okay? You have to realize that you are a rubber band, and that anytime you create a habit, a day or two or three later, that other person is going to try to pull you back. And then you have to consciously stretch yourself, but the tension is going to be to come back. You're going to have to stretch yourself, and the tension is going to be to come back. But when the rubber band is back in its relaxed state, that's where the rubber band wants to stay. It's your job with your body and your mind to stretch your rubber band. Otherwise, it wants to go back to comfort, status quo. Okay? When you move a rubber band and you stretch it, and you're holding it, it has something called potential energy. Now, I don't know if any of you guys were physics people in high school, but I love physics. I love Mr. Hicks was my favorite teacher in high school. He taught me chemistry and physics. Well, if you pull that rubber band, that has potential energy. What that means is, if you're holding that rubber band out, stretched like that, even though it's not moving, it has a tremendous amount of energy because it wants to, left by itself, go back. If you realize that, even if you sabotage yourself, you'll get back on it. You won't say, well, this is just me, because you'll have already stretched your rubber band and have said to yourself, I can stretch myself again. And now I know, if I don't do these three things, if I allow these triggers to impact or control me, I will naturally go back to this relaxed state. It's a really good analogy for you to think of, because what I've done for myself this year is not give up on myself. Without an analogy like that, without perspective, without a coach, without reading dozens of books, it's going to be hard for anybody to realize that it's okay that you went back to this way. That's what physics wants you to go to. You know, that's what your body, your ego, your mind. Your mind doesn't want you to be in a state of stress continually. Your subconscious mind does not want you to be there. Only your conscious mind can connect the dots and say, well, by stretching, this is what I get. I get this body. I get to feel this way. I get to make more money. I need to have a better relationship. If I say I love you, if I text my wife every day something nice, which I have to start doing, here's what I get out of it. Well, your subconscious mind is like, Jesus Christ, if you do that, she's going to expect it next month. Oh my God, what a pain in the ass that's going to be. Well, that makes sense, right? But if you don't do it, how are you consciously going to be able to get the relationship that you're looking for? If you've taken those steps, if that's what you discern to be, the things you have to do, and then you don't do it. So one thing I've realized this year so far is that your life is like a rubber band, and that it's okay when you start to lose and sabotage yourself, because that's natural. It's natural. What's not natural is that you give up. What's natural is that you build your brain, you fill it with the thoughts you need and the strategies and the tactics you need to attack it again and stretch it. Because you can change a rubber band. If you give it enough time, you will stretch that rubber band that's really tight and small and make it larger and a little bit more relaxed, meaning it's more really where you want it. So that's really, I would say, the number one thing so far I've realized. Number two thing I've realized this year, and this is two of two, of, I don't want to say how to become happier, but why I'm happier, is I went through a process of identifying and testing certain types of, I can't explain it, but certain types of skill sets that I want to deploy, that I want to use, that I want to display, that I want to, short of capitalize on, that I want to use. And I think if I look back at the last 2 years of my life, in my role at work and in my life and the things I chose to do and chose to put down, I don't think I was fully taking advantage of the skills that bring me the most joy. That's the best way for me to put it. And I put too much pressure on myself for some things and not enough positive pressure on others. And what that ended up happening as a result of that is by at work, for example, by having a higher salary, I actually made less. And what I mean by that is I actually did less of what I enjoy because I was doing things that weren't congruent to me. And the reason why I'm saying this to you is my level of happiness and satisfaction is exponentially more this year than last year. And I didn't think that was going to happen. And I owe a lot to a guy I work with who helped that to happen. And I sometimes you don't see the things that you enjoy, and you don't see yourself as much as other people can see them. Sometimes you can't see your own face when you're sitting at your desk as much as someone that comes into your office. Sometimes you can't really see or experience or feel your body language when you're walking around the office. And what's interesting is that when someone brings that up to you, you're so in your story or in your moment, you really, many times you can't really separate the two. And I'm a lot happier this year. And the reason why I'm happier is not because I'm fulfilling myself or it's because you're happiest when you are fulfilling the talents that you really feel you naturally have. Your happiness, there's a cliche like do what you love and you'll never go to work. That's the cliche way to say it. The way I want to say it is if you can find some of the talents you're good at and really work on them and become better and convince yourself that you're really getting better at this, that you're working on something you enjoy, the happiness that you find through the improvement of going from bad or okay to better is really, really strong. Because what I found is I thought it would be more based on other things, almost like I'm different, almost like, well, all the books say success is, is in the journey. It's not the destination. But for me, it's like, well, but if I can have this, then I'd be really happy. You have to bring the you are right now to the place that you're going to be when you feel like you're going to be happy. So if you're not happy now making what you're making, you're not going to be happy there when you're making more. The only times you're going to start to become happier is when you're actually executing or working in or working on the things that you enjoy the most. Becoming better at that, working on your craft, that's where you're the most fulfilled. And I owe that to Ed Milet too for that concept, because without him, it wouldn't have been proof that had I connected these dots that this all makes a heck of a lot of sense. So look in your life, look at work. Look in your life at home, but look at your life where you spend the most of your time. And then start to say to yourself, well, am I satisfied? Am I happy? If I'm not happy, meaning fulfilled, meaning if I'm not happy with what I'm doing, is it because I should be doing something else? Or is it because I'm not working on what I love every day? Perfect example would be if you feel like you don't enjoy your job, but your job allows for you to do certain things, do you focus more attention on the job you don't love, or do you focus more on the things that you can accomplish as a result of the job? I challenge you to go watch Curtis Martin's Hall of Fame speech. You'll know exactly what I mean at the end of it. The man hated football. He's in the Hall of Fame, but he found all this proof to why his skill in football allowed him to do all the things that God had laid out for him. He believed that he was doing God's work. That allowed him to push through all the stuff. He hated football. He hated running, he said. It's hysterical. You got to watch this thing. But look at what you're not doing each day to make yourself happy. It's your responsibility to make yourself happier. And you're not going to find happiness in a job. You're going to find happiness in becoming better at some of the parts of the job that you liked when you signed up. If you can't find a part in what you do that makes you fulfilled at all, then it's time literally to either get a side business, make one, and start to create fulfillment around that movement, that activity, that business, whether it's purpose or profit, start to do that. Or you just got to get a new job, one that you find has some things in it, some skills, some things that you can go do or achieve or give, actually, I should say, to contribute, that you can go from being not so great to great at, or from good to great at. Because without that, and you're just working for money, and when I go get this, I'll be happier, I'm telling you, it's going to get worse and worse and worse, because the regret is going to start to, you know, layer in and factor in. So the two things I would tell you to walk away with today is find your triggers, and through some books and through training and developing and visualization and working on yourself, start to become more conscious of the triggers that are in your life that you can recognize and say, okay, I have to eliminate that one. It's natural that they're going to come back into my life. Don't beat myself up and go after it again. Don't give up. That's one. And two is you have to find in your life where you're working, where you're spending the most amount of your time. Am I spending time on things that are going to make me fulfilled if I do them? If the answer is no, you need to find something like that at your job to focus on, to grow into. If you cannot find that where you are right now, start to look at whether a side hustle would get you there. Not something so that you could quit your job. That's not the goal of it. Something that would help you be fulfilled. Whether maybe it's volunteer work. Maybe it is doing something to leave. Maybe it is figuring out a way to get into some other field. But that shouldn't necessarily be the goal. The goal should be to find happiness, whichever one it is. That way, when you're living in the moment and you're living fulfilled, that's when your garden will be most fertile. Like right now, I'm doing the best I've done at work ever. I'm having the best time. I'm doing really well. And this is probably the time when, and I haven't gotten this yet, but this is when someone would call me now and say, hey, I have this incredible opportunity for you to go do this. I'm telling you that's how it works. You know, when you're miserable and you're shitty at your job and you're not doing well and you're unhappy, no one's looking to get you out of there and give you this great opportunity. It's when like everything is going on all cylinders. You guys know what I'm talking about. All of a sudden it's like, oh my God, like I'm doing well. And now I get to choose, like, oh my God, look at that. Look at your life and look at how you can start to create that fertile soil for yourselves. So I hope today really helped you, or you found something out of this. And it's a little longer than the 5 or 10 minutes. I said it's 17 minutes and 35 seconds, but I thought it was a worthwhile lesson. And I learned a lot from myself. I'm becoming my own damn hero this month. Because I'm proud of myself. I'm proud of myself for all the work I put into myself. I'm proud of myself. So I'm learning a lot about myself. And I'm learning about what it takes to become a high performance achiever, how to become a high achiever and be happy and be blissful and work on myself. I'm learning. I'm better than I was last month. I'm way better than I was last year. I challenge you to do the same. Enjoy the rest of your day, everybody. And thank you very much for joining.